T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. On today's show, Melvin Ingram scorms the Chiefs and is dead to us. Cody's ready to send Bobby Witt Jr. down to the minors. And airline workers can kiss my entitled rump. Now, two guys who are going to be super pissed when they found out I gambled all of our show money away this weekend in Philly. Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
We definitely have to talk about this. Definitely at some point this hour, because
we haven't heard anything about the money we sent him with to Philly.
I haven't heard any update on where the money is from your bets that you were supposed to make.
Well,
for
we know
show.
Where five of it
and
went.
We do know where five of it went. We also do need an update on what we teased it on Friday. Something happened between you and an airline worker at the airport on your way to Philadelphia.
Actually, technically not an airline worker. It was an airport worker.
Okay. Even worse, maybe. Maybe even worse.
Why is that worse?
Because that's even more likely that it's someone that lives here locally, whereas like a flight attendant might be.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely somebody who lives in the
even
KC
worse.
Metro.
So you were. Okay. We'll get the details.
Attacking the citizens of Kansas City.
I didn't attack
rude.
Anyone.
Rude. So we'll get to that. Good to have Nick back. Again, thanks to everybody that did come out this past weekend. That was a ton of fun. It was great to see everybody. I know you were in North KC. I was out south for Beers for Bink. We really, really appreciate everybody's support. Hope everybody had a good time. Great weather on Saturday. Great beer at all the breweries. And so thanks to all the breweries and everybody that were part of that. You can still go and get those Beers for Bink t-shirts as well. We've tweeted out the link to that.
Did you catch a buzz on Saturday, Gold?
Definitely did. I was drinking from about 11 to 4 and then did a show from 6 to 7. Woo! So, yeah.
He did a show
BetQL?
It was a BetQL show.
Wait, do they know?
And the producer, no joke, the producer said, this is one of the better shows you've done for us.
I was like, loose.
I was like, huh?
Drinking, Alex.
Maybe we should... We should test that theory a little bit more.
Just drink a little bit more. No, it was a good day on Saturday.
Let's have Gold start drinking right now. Yeah. And let's see how the show starts.
Just like take a shot before the show.
Yeah. 9 a.m. shots. Ooh. That's brutal. But no, thanks to everybody that did come out for that. You heard Nick, though, mention Melvin Ingram. Honestly, I'm really surprised by this. Melvin Ingram is going to sign with the Miami Dolphins. That's where all the reporting has been. Melvin Ingram himself even tweeted out something in reference to him signing with the Miami Dolphins. I felt like, Cody, once the Chiefs put that tender, which we had mentioned, was kind of an unused one for the most part when
especially
it comes to veterans.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason why you put the tender on them, because you at least get a comp pick back. And also, it gave you kind of the right to negotiate if another team came along. That was our understanding of it. You know, it was the bump up 110% of what he made a year ago is what you would have had to pay him. But if nobody signed him by, what was it, like July 25th or 26th, something like that, then he essentially couldn't sign anywhere else. And so, you could almost pencil in Melvin Ingram. And, well, that wasn't the case. I was really surprised by this. I guess if you're trying to find the slight positive, it's, well, at least the Chiefs are going to get a comp pick out of it. But I'm surprised. And this was a guy that I was kind of counting on the Chiefs from the veteran angle to be able to bring in. Not that he's going to be an 8-sack guy or anything. Remember, he had, what, 2 sacks for the Chiefs last year. But his presence... he certainly was noticeable consistently on the field when he came over from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm a little bummed out that Melvin Ingram has decided to go sign with the Dolphins, what I would assume would be for quite a bit more money than what the Chiefs were willing to pay.
Well, the second, and I'll give Arrowhead Pride a lot of credit here, the second that the number came out for what Jerry Hughes signed for, they had a problem. Jerry Hughes got $10 million a year. He's essentially Melvin Ingram. He's a... almost mid-30s veteran pass rusher who gets to the quarterback sometimes, who shows up on the field, but, you know, is not like the elite. He's not the Von Miller. He's not the elite pass rushers. And he got $10 million a year. So 4.4 wasn't going to cut it anymore. The good news is for the Chiefs, they will get some compensation out of this. So they look smart. That was a good move by Veach. The problem is there apparently is no market of pass rusher they're willing to be in. So for everybody who's like, whoa, 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 they've got another plan. Just you wait. We'll see. There have been 30 pass rushers available on the open market in this offseason. They have paid zero of them. There has not been a high-end market, a low-end, and there really hasn't been. There's been no level of the market in which they're willing to spend money. So I don't know if that's just indicative of where they are with pass rush, but I'm not just sitting here today to tell you, oh, I think they got a backup plan for Ingram. I think there's a chance their backup plan for Ingram is these are the players we have. Look, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm not saying they still can't go out there. I think people always mention like Clowney, and it's like they've never shown any interest.
Right.
And there's other guys still available. Or even your guy, Robert Quinn.
Yes, please.
There are still some available options in here. But to this point, they've shown no interest in being involved at the price tag of the market. Because based on the tender, they would have had a chance to pay Ingram the same amount he's going to go make in Miami. We don't have the contract details yet. But again, if Jerry Hughes got $10 million, I'm not going to be surprised if Melvin Ingram's worth double what the Chiefs had tendered him at. So they're stuck, and now the pass rush looks worse. I didn't think the pass rush was going to be good,
right?
But it's certainly worse without Melvin Ingram.
I think most people were banking on the fact that Melvin Ingram was going to be someone that would be a late July addition again, and he would be on this team, and you would feel at least, okay, they make sense. You have a veteran in Melvin Ingram who can help you ease in a George Karloftis, maybe take some pressure off him, not asking as much. But as things stand today, it's hard to imagine Karloftis not having an even bigger role, right? I mean, I know they're going to rotate in Mike Dan and others. And this is the real reason why this is problematic is because what we always have known for the last 2 years, which is that the guy that you were paying so much money to, even though you restructured now, yeah, Frank Clark, is you can't count on him. And so that's why it's problematic. We wouldn't be being like it's a big deal at all that Melvin Ingram wasn't coming back if number 55 was actually performing at the level that he should have been performing at. But we know we can't count on him, right? That's why Correct. You're in this position, truly.
So now it's like Dan is a starter or Karloftis is a starter, and it just comes with problems.
Yeah,
right?
So I felt like when that move was made that, yeah, you could have actually have had Ingram coming back. That's not the case anymore. And so, yeah, I know we joke about it, but to me, it makes me even more at the point where I would like them to pull off a trade, you know, in August or late July for a veteran. There's usually one or two veterans that get moved by a non-contending team near the start of the season. For multiple reasons, and I still think Robert Quinn is somebody that I would be all about bringing to Kansas City, especially now.
Well, with the comp pick, and we don't know where it'll be, but it's going to apply for the comp pick formula. We know that they're going to get one for Melvin Ingram. We just don't know. It depends on the amount he ends up getting paid. They still could go Akeem Hicks or Pierre Paul or Takaris McKinley. Like, they can find another guy. The problem is we know that Melvin Ingram was working. Like, he fit. Like, for whatever it is, fit matters sometimes, and he fit. He looked productive. I know that the sack numbers still weren't there, but there was an obvious difference when he got on the field with them. And I'm not saying they can't do that, but, you know, next year they already have. So with this new comp pick, even if Eric Bieniemy doesn't get hired, and that could change if he did, even if Eric Bieniemy didn't get hired, they're scheduled right now, based on the comp pick formula, most people think they're going to have 12 picks again next year. Again!
And the draft is in Kansas City.
That's a lot of draft picks again. Like, I know it's not two first round picks this time, but to be reloaded again at that number once again suggests to me that they probably should be looking for someone. Like, if they don't like the price tags of defensive ends, then you got to find one that's already cheap. And based on the market, Quinn's actually kind of cheap. If Jerry Hughes is getting $10 million and Quinn's available for the acquiring team to take on $13 million and he's a 7 or 8 sack guy and those guys are 4 sack guys, he's kind of cheap. Like, I know that it's not perfect and, like, really the market you're shopping in is which 32-year-old defensive end or defensive lineman do you want on your squad? Yeah, I'd probably entertain Robert Quinn more than they did before, but I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, are they, because that same thing applies. Are they willing to give up draft picks? They're not willing to pay anybody. I don't know. Like, I don't know that this is how they want to spend their money. It still seems to me that they're clutching to a certain amount of savings this year for future cap purposes to get back to whatever formula they were hitting pre-pandemic.
Some of the speculation back before the draft started was that you could have got it done for maybe a third-round pick. So I don't think we're talking about a necessarily too
no,
much.
No, I just mean the monetary end of it.
Well, the monetary end of it for like, again, Robert Quinn is like $17 million this year, $18 the next year, and $17 at age 34. That might be what scares teams off if, in fact, he's actually available. Is that, all right, you're good in at age 32 coming off of 18 and a half sacks to pay him $17 million, but are you still good with being on the hook for money in 2023 and 2024. Now, his dead cap hit by the time you got to age 34 is only $4 million. So if it was really problematic, you probably would, at that point in time, just move on, eat the $4 million instead of paying him $17. So I think there's some ways you could do it if he, in fact, is still available. I still think that before the season, if they can get an Orlando Brown Jr. extension done too, that frees up some more money to where maybe it becomes more realistic. But definitely bummed out that Melvin Ingram, I mean, I think maybe the Chiefs, perhaps, if you want to view it from an optimistic side, saw the price range coming and said, well, we might as well try to at least get a comp pick back because we're not going to X amount of money, whatever that dollar amount's going to be for the Dolphins. Now, where I'll be confused is if we find out he signed with the Dolphins for like
five or six.
I'm like, wait a second, what? So in a way, at this point, I'm hoping he got $8+ million from the Dolphins. Otherwise, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Again, based on Jerry Hughes' number, he might have gotten $8 or $9 million. And I don't know. I mean, like, ask yourself that question, because we know their pass rush stinks. So sometimes you're tempted to get into the market. Because Hughes, if you don't know anything about what he did in Buffalo last year, and there's no reason why you would. He's a 33-year-old defensive end. He'll be 34 to start the year. He played in all 17 games for the Buffalo Bills last year. He had 2 sacks. He got $10 million. So that's just the going rate. And this is probably just standard across contracts. Jerry Alexander just got $21 million. Tyreek Hill just got $30. Contracts are getting ready or are in the middle of a boom. And yeah. So
two of those guys are completely different landscape than anybody we're talking about.
But everyone's number is up. I'm just saying, like, everyone's number is up. And I think that that's the thing to remember when we're looking at these contracts. Like, if I told you, all right, no Ingram or Ingram at $8 million, what's your answer?
Well, considering where they're at, I actually would have been
Ingram
all right.
Ingram at $8 million, yeah. I would have paid it. It's almost born out of desperation, but it's not a good financial decision.
This sucks. Why are the Chiefs, who are supposed to be like the cream of the crop with Andy Reid, with Patrick Mahomes, you're supposed to be competing for Super Bowls every single year because you have two of the most valuable assets in the NFL, why are they in pass rush poverty? Like, why can't they have any nice pass rush? Why do we go into the season just knowing that it's going to suck?
Because they haven't done a good job drafting them, and financially they can't afford what the market bears.
That's not okay to me.
Well, sorry.
Somebody should have to pay for this.
Who?
I'm not sure. I thought you guys might be able to answer that question.
Who is it you want to pay for this?
I don't know. Let's talk it out
again,
together.
As I mentioned a few minutes ago, though, like, ultimately what it comes in, I know they were able to restructure his deal, but we've already just all assumed and agreed that Frank Clark, you have no idea what you're going to get, and
it's not good.
It's nothing, is what you know, right?
Five
I mean,
sacks.
That's honestly the biggest issue. Why are you actually sitting here today saying, man, it's really a bummer you couldn't bring back Melvin Ingram? It shouldn't matter if number 55 actually was someone you thought he was. But that's
not defensive linemen who
not who he is.
We're scheduled to make $20 million this year.
Yep.
That amount.
Yeah. No, you can hope that Chris Jones not playing outside as much and the wrist being healthy leads to a much bigger season for him, right? And having a guy next to him on the interior that actually shows up for the first 10 weeks of the season, that would help too, since Jaron Reed wasn't able to do so.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly couldn't hurt, but it's, again, this is the same cycle they're in right now, and they don't seem to want to spend the money to solve it. We'll get to Nick's run-ins at the airport.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, it's amazing that he made it back to Kansas City, if the rumors are true about what occurred at an airport, or how they even let him out of KCI this past weekend on Friday. But what you wanted to talk about the Royals. Now, that's dangerous. You sure you want to talk about the Royals? Like, I mean, look, it's a Monday. I'm trying to be in a good mood. And you want to talk about the Royals? You sure?
Hey, it'd be a lot worse if they had blown that game yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I was typing this as they were getting ready to have the most embarrassing loss of the season. Like, okay, well, this is going to have to be as some heads are going to have to roll Monday. Because if you suffer that loss after this start to the season and blow up, let up a 7-run seventh inning against the Colorado Rockies. Now, instead, they got the thing. They got the division. They got the win. They got the series win.
Yeah.
They're back home. Whatever. Right. We can feel mediocre like we did going
12,
into the road 12 trip.
12 and 20, right?
They're 12 and 20. You don't feel good about the team. But it was like when that game was sitting there, it was reminding me that for the rest of the season, there is a way that this season can go so bad that the conversation we had before the season is no longer true. Before the season, we asked the question of who's more untouchable, Brett Veach or Dayton Moore? We both agreed that it's clearly Dayton Moore. There's almost nothing he can do to get in trouble with this organization. But I also didn't think that this season could go this bad. Now, they seem to have stabilized a little. It was not a great road trip, stabilized a little. But if they were going to continue down that path, that game was blown yesterday, and then it just kept spiraling. There's a way where Dayton's untouchable status looks a lot different at the end of this season. And I still think the season could go that way because this is the first year that they had expectations and by their own account had expectations. They've always been very careful, small market, the issues that present, the reasons why it's harder to succeed in these areas. And I think that when you look at it from this perspective is that if this season derails, and right now it's like we're not good, but we're not an embarrassment. If they were to become an embarrassment like it looked like they were going to be for the first 3 weeks of this season, Dayton's not as untouchable as he was, man. It's just like he can lose some of that status.
I think we've already seen some of the pressure from outside ratchet up quite a bit, right? I mean, whether it's from fans, whether it's been some of the conversations on this station, whether it's been columns. I think we referenced one last week from Alec Lewis, also Sam McDowell at the Star. Like, I think there's been certainly more pressure and the temperature has been turned up a little bit in that regard. But you and I have always talked about this. And if that day ever came, we know Smead still, he goes out on his own terms for the most part. I think I don't think
leaves for philanthropic
or whatever. I don't think we're there yet, but the pressure's definitely been turned up from the outside.
Like you already sense, like people will, and there'll always be people who defend Dayton Moore because they won a World Series in a small market for all the reasons they did. But there seems to be more viscera coming his direction because it's like, okay, it's enough now. Where's the winning you had promised? And I think the biggest issue is the way Dayton has always pitched this second run is, like, he understood how he sold himself out, how he structured it the last time. And his thing was, like, he wanted to essentially become the Cardinals model or the Rays model in the, our plan is to be competitive every year. No more of this 100 loss stuff. Your bad years are your 72 and 90. And for a decade's time, 4 or 5 of those years, you're a playoff team. And then you try to strike it rich and find a way to get to a World Series again. A task that's, again, not easy for a small market club, and I understand that. But it just, like, it doesn't feel like there was momentum. And because the people who were, you know, like, you get through that game on Saturday, and Carlos Hernandez gets absolutely lit up again. And then you get another good Daniel Lynch start, which should make you feel good. Only to have the team look like they were getting ready to set it off. You're like, oh my God, if they lose this game.
Yeah, the bullpen imploded.
You know, like, even if people don't want to talk about the Royals are going to come into this, like, they're going to demand to call into this station. They're going to be texting in asking for Dayton's head. Because, and I don't think that it's just him. Some of this is player performance. Because some of these guys have been better than this. And I don't think calling out a player for being like, you need to be better. Like, asking Whit Merrifield, like, you need to play better. And he had a good series. Over his last, you know, he's had a good week.
He did.
So it's, you know, I mean, it's nice to play in Colorado, but he's had a good series. Take it home, feel good about it. But when you...
Yeah, like, Nick had the Lazy Susan idea for the new stadium. Can you also work in an altitude adjustment, please, as well for the stadium? Is that possible?
No, actually,
can they bump it up?
I'm actually ready to announce that I am retired from coming up with ideas for the Royals. I've given you too
as
many...
As a team or stadium?
As an organization.
Okay.
Until you guys start winning, I've given you too many good ideas. You guys have done nothing with them, and you don't deserve them.
You did say Lazy Susan, and he also said to send Chris Bubich down, which they did.
Hmm.
I think Carlos Hernandez will be joining him very soon.
And
as
I
well.
Also said, maybe let's stop praising Bobby Witt Jr. before he does something. What happened? Bobby Witt Jr. had a hitting streak, got his first home run. So, you know, you guys can make fun of me all you want and say, I don't know this, I don't know that. I think I've been a little bit closer to correct on a lot of the Royals stuff this year than either one of you.
So, I don't. Just saying that. I don't believe that to be true.
Just saying that.
But since we're on you and your decision making, since we're already on the subject,
yeah, we were tracking
this
your
feels
flights.
Like a natural transition.
We had some listeners tracking your flight on Friday before you left.
That was weird.
Letting you know that your flight was delayed on your way to Philadelphia. You had a layover in St. Louis. It sounds like you obviously made the flight. You went to Philly, but that didn't almost happen, right? I mean, you told us there was an incident, and I think you caused
there was not an incident.
At KCI.
No.
On Friday afternoon.
I think I would describe it as an
incident. There was an incident, and you were involved.
Okay. No, there was no incident. So here's the deal.
Did you or did not break airport policy?
Can I just get into this my own way? Can I just do this?
Fine.
So when you get on the plane and they're going through the rigmarole of what you can do, can't do, FFA or whatever it's called. That's Futures Farmers of America.
FAA.
There we go.
Double A.
FFA, there's a lot of kids in my high school.
Yeah.
Rural Topeka that went to that. So when they get on, they're telling you all this stuff that you can and can't do, blah, blah, blah. I never listen to it because I always have my headphones on. And I've been on a flight a million times. I don't need to hear it again. I don't need to hear the spiel.
You know the rules.
You think you know the rules. But a lot of times there are rules that maybe slip through the cracks. And so you don't necessarily know them. So the flight before last, I went to get a beer at the one of those little kiosks at the KC airport.
Yeah, so many amenities at the current airport.
Yeah,
so many.
But they sell
hard to go.
They just sell those. They sell like tall boy cans, which is hilarious to me. That's how they distribute beer in Kansas City. It's like, here's 24 ounces. You may be thirsty because you may have to walk a while to get back to your gate. So by the time I got back to my gate, again, this is not this last time. This was a time before. I got back to my gate. I was like, I don't have time to drink this, so I'm not even going to open it. I'm just going to put it in my little, I know, I've got the little water bottle holder on the side of my book bag. And I got on the plane, you know, gave my boarding pass, got on the plane, didn't think anything of it until I sat down and I realized, like, am I supposed to have this? And I took my headphones off, and literally as I'm taking my headphones off, I hear her say, and just a reminder, it is against the rule. If you brought alcoholic beverages onto this aircraft, you may not consume them. And I was like, oh, no. Well, I've got 24 ounces of Lagunitas, so I'm obviously not just going to throw this away like a good little boy. So I waited until the plane took off. You know, the engine's really revving up. Everybody's loud. The stewardesses are in their seat. And I cracked that bad boy open. And the guy looked at me, and he gave the guy next to me. I'm sitting on the aisle seat. The guy next to me, he gave me a fist bump. He's like, that is a good idea. So he clearly didn't really care either. But then at this point, I know it's against the rules. So my flight got delayed, as our listeners conveniently alerted me of. My flight got delayed on Friday. It got delayed again. So as I'm thinking about boarding, I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to get a beer. Same deal. But this time.
Oh, so you replicated.
But here's what
I
did.
So you now know it's against the rules because you've been reprimanded by the airline staff.
Here is the difference. And this may have happened the first time and I didn't even notice it, is that they tell you right when you buy it, you have to open this here so that you can't do what I did.
Sure.
So I knew that was coming this time. I knew that once I paid for it, this guy, this 60-year-old, 70-year-old man at the end of the counter was going to tell me to open it. But again, I've got the headphones on. Dude, I'm telling you, noise-canceling headphones are like a superpower.
You're obsessed with these headphones.
Because they give you the ability to act like you don't see or hear anybody that's trying to communicate with you. So I'm not even listening to music. I'm listening to like a book, an audiobook. So I can definitely hear through them. And so as I'm turning away, I can hear the guy say, like, before I've even turned to him, I can hear him say, like, you've got to open that here, sir. And
you heard him say it.
Yes. But again, I got the headphones on, so I don't make eye contact. I just kind of turn around.
You're just
and he's
ignoring.
So like he's right in between me. Like he is Brian Urlacher, I am Jerome Bettis, you know, like he is standing in my way. He's the bouncer, but he's 70. I'm like, he ain't stopping
me. So you shoved the guy to the side.
I did not
and
shove
still,
the
and,
guy
and
to
so
the
you
side.
Still went on
in
the plane.
In fact, if we want to start handing out who did, like who initiated what, he actually, because I did not heed his first warning, he put his hand lightly on my chest and I could hear him say it again and again. I just act like I can't see him, and I just keep walking, and he's saying, sir, and I can hear him saying, sir, behind me again, and I just said, I'm thinking to myself, like, he ain't chasing me.
Oh, my
His
goodness.
Old ass ain't chasing me.
So you shameful behavior.
So you just intentionally ignored the guy.
So I went back, put the beer in my book bag, got onto the plane, chug that puppy. 24 ounces on an airplane, man. That'll keep your thirst quenched entire ride. Here was the tough part.
Yeah,
though.
Your flight to St. Louis is what, 40 minutes?
Yeah, I know. So I had to I kind of had to slam that thing. But the funniest part about it was when the stewardess came back through to collect your trash, and I handed her a tall boy, and she looked at it, And she stopped and she looked at it, and I was like, I just kind of looked at her and just like, thank you. And I think she was probably to the point where she's like, the flight's almost landed. What am I going to do about it now? You know?
So now you're intentionally
on a no-fly list.
So you're intentionally
I'm not getting on a no-fly list.
You intentionally are violating FAA regulations.
That's a convenient way for you to word it.
Yeah, that's sounds like that's what it is.
I'm simply doing what I want to do.
What's the next step? I mean, it starts with the beer.
Nick.
Pretty soon, Nick's gonna not agree to move his seat up or tray table.
I
up.
Did cut
He's
in
not
line.
Gonna buckle his seat.
I did cut in line this time, but only because my flight was delayed and I was worried about missing my connecting flight. So.
Versus all the other times you cut in line just for enjoyment.
Text line's right. Nick, huge jerk at the airport. Where else do you do these kind of things?
Are you a jerk everywhere or just the airport?
Just the airport. I'm very nice elsewhere.
It's just specific to that location.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm a good guy pretty much. I actually make up for it. I'm so polite everywhere else that I'm almost too nice everywhere.
How many
everywhere
waiters
else
do you scream at?
Never screamed at a waiter. I'm always a generous tipper as well.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe with this behavior. Your airport behavior makes the rest of it hard to believe.
If you are someone that works at KCI, on behalf of Nick Schwartz and everybody, we are very sorry for our producer.
As a representative of the show.
Yeah.
No, actually, I am going to counter that by saying I apologize to absolutely nobody. It's my world. You're living in it. End of story.
Coming up next, we'll see if the text line continues to trash Nick. But also, Cody, you said there's an argument for doing this if you're the Royals, and I completely disagree.
You're listening to Cody and Gold. Tune in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour every day at 11:30 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just getting started here on a Monday. A text line, not happy with Nick. We can get back to Nick's airport story later on in the show. I'm sure we'll.
What'd you say?
I'm sure we'll revisit it.
You've got some nerve.
I've been falsely accused 1,000 times in the show. You're actually.
I like
doing
how you always
things.
Explain it like that. You never get into specifics, but you just say of all the time, of everything that everybody's ever said, all of which are untrue.
I didn't say uh-huh.
Like
just
such
some
a political
things.
Answer. I've been accused of many things.
I'm actually just going to.
Falsely.
Starting now, I believe I'll just start keeping a running list of the things I actually did that I've been accused of and the things that I've been false. It's like, so for instance, I did go to a hotel. I did go, not
you
a
did.
Hotel room. I did go
you,
to a hotel lobby.
Oh, are we about to hear him now? Come through? Now he's about full, to come clean.
Now the full
I
truth is coming out.
I did go to a hotel lobby.
You did go to a
to
hotel.
Deliver cookies, but all the other stuff that I'm accused of during that time.
No,
false.
I think no. I think you're really defensive. Nobody ever brought up other things. All we said is you, a married man, went to a hotel at 11 o'clock at night and met another woman. And you said that is accurate. That's all we left. We just met it there. Mm-hmm. And you said that's true. And
then you said a bunch of stuff like, how was her hotel room? And I didn't go to her hotel room.
Okay.
All just lies. Okay. Anyway, get back to
it. At least at least I don't run from the things that I do.
It's true. Whether it be goose death or assault of senior citizens, you've admitted to both of those things.
By the way, why don't you go Urban Dictionary cookie? Brings on a whole different meaning to that story.
No, I do not believe I will. I'm not going down that road at all. I don't think that we're there yet, but there is an argument for sending Bobby Witt Jr. down. And the argument is
he just hit another home run.
Hold on. The argument is Jared Kelenic for the Seattle Mariners, who just got sent down, their top prospect, performed poorly and then was sent down.
Okay.
And The argument is getting the service time. Whether you like it or not, that's the service time. Career batting average on base percentage, they rival that of Bobby Witt Jr. for Kalinic. He's played now, last year he played 93 games. They've now sent him down again. Bobby Witt Jr. is outperforming him. And I don't think I'd do it. I don't think I would. I think I would just let him hit through this stuff until he figures it out, because I actually, unlike most organizations, believe you can learn at the major league level and don't require that. But are you surprised that they're not kicking it around? Because
no, he's going to be on the big league club the entire season.
You don't think that
we're talking about a team that struggled to score runs offensively. He still gives them their best chance to do so. And the Kalinic thing, I get it. He was still is a top prospect, I guess.
Because they keep moving him around. He's hitting first. He's hitting eighth. He's hitting fifth. He's hitting.
But why are they moving around? Because the offense as a whole has been dreadful. Yeah. We've been talking about this for weeks. And so, like, the Kalinic deal, he had 300 and something at-bats last year for the Mariners and got another 86, and then now they sent him down. So I don't think you could – they're apples – they're not apples to apples in terms of the bigger picture. Yes, they both happen to be top prospects for their own organization. But as far as just looking at the number of at-bats, it's not even the same – it's not the same realm whatsoever between the two guys. I don't think that's something that anybody should really be entertaining at this point in time for Bobby Witt Jr., especially with the way the offense is. Nobody's hitting offensively. Finally, over the weekend, maybe there was some glimmer of hope for Whit Merrifield that he can get going. We'll see this week. They open up a series tonight at the K against the White Sox.
I do think that Bobby Witt Jr.'s power has started to show up, which we were hoping was going to be the case. But the overall numbers, there are still, like, he needs to get better.
Sure. That's fair.
Well, and I mean, it just depends, because, like, the home road splits would suggest that there's some of this. But, like, in my brain, he's hitting a lot better. So I went to go look it up because I'm like, okay, Bobby Witt Jr.'s good. We're sold. We're fine. I'm still seeing some of those young hitter problems out of him.
Because he's a young hitter.
But I don't know. But I look, I wouldn't send him down. I would let him keep playing at the major league level. But I'm not going to be surprised if somebody's going to start kicking these things around, because he's still not hitting at the level he's supposed to.
Honest question.
Hit 216 in. Here's a slash line for April and March. And here's a slash line in May. 216, 247, 311, 558. 217, 265. So he's not getting on base more. He's not hitting for a higher average. He is hitting for significantly more power. He's hitting at 478 slug and a 744 OPS, which is probably about league average right now. So if that's what he's going to hit at, there's there. I don't like them moving him around as much. I don't understand the notion. Like, I think that you should just, if you don't think he's ready to hit first or second all the time, or hit fifth all the time, this is why they put Michael A. Taylor at second.
Yeah.
Find a spot in the order you like him at and just keep him there for a while.
Yeah. Two things. One, who is actually saying this? And two,
no,
let me just read you off batting averages, which I know is not everything, but batting averages for the current lineup for the Royals.
Oh God, it's awful.
Salvador
so
Perez is hitting 209. He helped them win the game, of course, yesterday. Won the game yesterday, but 209. Andrew Benintendi, yes, 316. Michael A. Taylor, 228. Hunter Dozier, 282. And then Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting 217. And then, of course, Nicky Lopez, 190.
Yeah, Lopez is really struggling.
Right, like Whit Merrifield's hitting 183. My point being here is, of course, he needs to perform better, but I think he is very low on the totem pole of my reasons for the offense. And therefore, he's still, if this offense is going to get some sort of consistency at all, along with Whit Merrifield and Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have to be part of that.
I don't think he's the biggest problem at all.
That's why I'm asking, like, who's even...
Who's even kicking it around?
I don't think that's in the cards at all.
So maybe it's just as simple as, like, going back to some of the same list of guys that we don't want on the lineup. But they've done nothing to change the lineup, if that makes sense. They've moved guys around, but they're all the same hitters. The pitching staff, right? Bubic has been sent down by Carlos Hernandez's next start on Thursday. I think he'll probably be sent down.
I would think so.
They've sent down some reliever. They've moved plenty of the pitching staff guys. So we're unwilling to do anything in the lineup. And maybe this goes back to the Santana, O'Hearn.
Hold on. I know you are, but, like, again, that's why I don't know who's asking this. Send Bobby Witt Jr. down, who's actually towards the top of the team in a couple categories because the team's been so bad. And who should be in the lineup instead of him?
Like, look, this is why there's no.
They can do it with pitchers, Cody, because while there may not be great options, they got bodies, right? Yeah. They got arms.
I think this is the frustration over. And I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't send Bobby Witt Jr. down. I understand the value. I like the idea of a guy learning at the major league level, but they don't show it's. And I get some of it is just like the evaluation you make ahead of time. But there's plenty of evidence that some other guys that they still show an unwillingness to start don't get playing time over other guys. So I maybe this is what my real issue is. I don't know what their plan is. What's your plan on offense? Like, they won the game yesterday. They scored some runs over this last series. But I'm just still generally confused about, like, what is the strategy? Is it just hope everyone hits better? Because I don't really like that strategy. The reason why I bring up, like, okay, what's the plan for Nicky? What was the plan? Like, what's hitting well now? So you're obviously going to keep playing him every day. But, you know, like, if the plan was to play Witt because he's just played a lot of games in a row, that's not a good strategy. So if you'd have been like, well, who besides Witt? I don't know. Let Isbell start a day or Rivera start a day. Now Witt's playing well, so there's no reason to kick. But, like, what are the plans? Like, I kind of want to know the plan because the offense didn't seem so for everybody. Are you going to catch Salvador Perez less? Are you going to play Bobby in a more comfortable position at short to get him more comfortable on offense and let Rivera play more third? Like, are you going to get MJ Melendez in or Isbell? Are you like, what's our plan here for everyone's strategy offensively? What if Nicky continues to not hit? And he made, you know, like, and he made a bad defensive play last night. It didn't end up costing him the game, but it's like, I don't feel like, I don't know anyone's strategy for anyone on offense. And I think that that's where, like, the Bobby, it's like, I just want to know that there's a plan. I'm asking, oh, could this be in the cards for the plan for him? I wouldn't do it, but could it be? And the answer is probably no because of that, but it just feels like we're stuck in, like, a weird loop with the Royals right now.
We'll get to Nick's notable notes coming up in about 6 minutes or so. There was some broadcast news, and you said, what's the big deal here? Well, it could impact the future of who could play quarterback in the league this year. Are you buying at all the rumblings around Drew Brees, who is leaving NBC after 1 year of doing studio work for them, was also on the Notre Dame broadcast, did that wild card game, and the reviews of his performance as a color commentator were not very high. At one point, NBC had thought that he could be the replacement to Chris Collinsworth long term. It doesn't seem like they're thinking that's the case anymore. And so Drew Brees has decided to part ways with NBC. He sent out a tweet: despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. He claims he still may work for NBC. I may play football again, even. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. But multiple reports say his time at NBC is done. He obviously, in that tweet, is trying to push back that that's a done deal at this point in time. We're not actually playing this game where we think he's playing football again, though. Come on.
Sounds like somebody's covering for the fact that they're getting pushed out of their current job.
He wanted to do more color commentary for NBC, and they said, no, we'd prefer you just keep doing the studio work. And he said, no. And obviously, he doesn't need the money. So he's like, if I'm not happy about the situation, then let's move on. But the football angle to me, that's over, right?
Maybe. I would have thought this.
Sat out a year, 43 years old. He was not like Tom Brady at 42 or 41. Drew Brees' arm clearly had fallen off.
He just had shoulder surgery. It doesn't make sense.
I think Nick's probably right a little bit there where it's like.
So it's just like soften, an empty threat. Why does he even mention it, though?
Soften the
He's
blow.
He's probably embarrassed.
Soften the blow of basically being pushed, just told that, yeah, you're not as good as we thought you were at the whole color commentary thing. And he's probably, it's probably a little bit of an ego thing.
That's a tough thing to swallow when you're a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. You just think you're going to be great at everything. Bad news, Drew. That's not how this works. Just because you were great at football doesn't mean you're going to be great at talking about football. Just because you got on that Brian Urlacher hair plan does not mean you're good at it.
The wild card game wasn't good for him.
No, it wasn't. And I don't blame them for, like, also, he should probably understand that this is the current setup for, like, for all analysts. Like, Tom Brady can keep it for a bit. But, like, if you're Greg Olson, get the money. You can now, because there's always going to be another athlete who's more recent, who's going to push these other athletes out of the job. Tony Gonzalez just learned this. Like, Tony Gonzalez held one of those studio spots for a while. And I know it's like, no, I'm focusing on my acting career. Sure you are. You sure if they weren't still paying you $4 million to sit in a studio, you wouldn't be taking the money? Some of this is they find new guys. Like, they go, like, Dan Marino gets shoved out because they find somebody else to sit in the studio. Like, all these guys should probably come, like, Phil Simp, like, all these guys should probably come recognize that the new trend is going to be further and further. Like, they're going to try you out, and if they don't like it after a couple of years, they're going to find some other retired athlete to go take your job instead. It's not that hard to put pen to paper. I don't, because he's so embarrassed and like, no, this isn't it, I don't rule out him trying to play football again, but who the hell would take him? Like, the Saints have pretty clearly just decided it's going to be Jameis. So they're not going to go that route. So then he would have to convince Carolina to take him on for a year, or who am I missing? Seattle? I could see Pete Carroll doing it. That might be the one coach I could see doing it. Oh, Pete Carroll is so weird. Couldn't you see Pete Carroll just saying, yeah, you know what, fine, it's fine. We'll let Drew Brees be our quarterback now.
Yeah, Drew Brees.
Or does he want to prove that he can win with Drew Lock?
That arm at this point in time throwing in Seattle weather seems like a complete disaster.
Isn't there one thing we learned from the demise of the Russell Wilson era in Seattle is that Pete Carroll is never going to acquiesce to a quarterback, and I don't think Drew Brees is going to show up just to be a good soldier. Like, he's going to want to have some control.
At 42? What is he, 42, 43?
And let's not forget,
he's still Drew Brees.
And Sean Payton's not even in New Orleans anymore. I just, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be one thing you could
see. He can't even go back to his old, well, in fairness, the guy who's in charge was
Dennis Allen or whatever, yeah. But his guy, Sean Payton's gone. Stepped away.
Also, just because Tom Brady plays at 44 doesn't mean everyone can.
Correct.
Every quarterback should probably learn this lesson right now. Just because that guy did doesn't mean you should.
No, we're the same. Me and that Tom Brady guy.
He is the greatest quarterback
I'll
of all time.
I'll stop eating strawberries, too.
He'll get, I don't know, Drew Brees will get DB something, like, you know, whatever number he wants to attach to it. He'll get his own system.
Was it DB8?
That's what everybody should start. Every quarterback should just start coming up with a system. It doesn't really need to have any sort of principle.
DB9.
Doesn't need to have any sort of consistency. Just make it weird. Just make it sort of unique. And there's like, you can't.
Egg yolks for breakfast. Just the yolks. They have to be sauteed. And, you know, it's like they got to be cooked a certain way.
Not even
just raw. It's like very, they got to be cooked in like ostrich blood.
Unpasteurized butter.
It's got to be that way. It's
every morning you have to have a glass of raw goat milk.
Ugh. That's terrible. Gotta write something down.
Nick's Notable Notes. All right, guys. So today's Nick's Notable Notes is going to be all about the PGA Championship. That's right. Golf's second major of the year taking place this weekend down at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you weren't listening last week, we decided that with this little nest egg of cash that we've been sitting on from, where's this cash from? The Daddy Day shirt?
The Daddy Day shirts.
So we've got some money there, mm-hmm. and we decided, you know what? We didn't decide. Cody decided he's getting very impatient. He wants to make more money right away and not have to wait. So the easiest way to do that would be to gamble. So we decided that because he was so adamant about it, he would have to cover 50% of any losses incurred while gambling. So the amount that we decided to gamble, did we disclose this on air?
We did, briefly. No, we didn't tell people. So we had a free bet. So Nick was in Pennsylvania where it's a legal betting market. So you Venmo'd him $150 of our show budget. And we had a free bet, so it didn't really matter. So we lost $5, but not really.
So we started at 150. We're down to 145.
Okay, and you're supposed to make some golf bets for us,
though. Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to fill out a betting card.
Oh, no.
You're getting too ahead of the story. We bet on the Bucks money line.
Yeah, they obviously lost.
And I thought to myself, wait a minute, my girlfriend lives in a state where there's legalized gambling. She doesn't have any gambling accounts. Why don't we just go and do another free bet thing? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And?
So I just transferred her the money, and she's going to do it now.
So now your girlfriend's in charge of our money?
Okay. Yes.
You guys better be on good terms still for another couple of weeks. At least another week. At least one more week.
How'd the trip go to Philly? Did you guys get along the whole time?
The trip went fantastic. Went swimmingly.
Okay, good.
Well, she was watching me trying to, because you and I, we were all texting behind the scenes. I was getting really frustrated with trying to log into these different accounts and stuff. And so it wasn't working, and I wasn't sure if I even got the free bet. Not that it mattered, because we ended up losing it anyway. And it was like, we lost by a lot. Like, what a horrible bet. Yeah. I let you guys just decide. Yeah. So we're going to take that 145, have her place a free bet, and then if we lose that one, she can just go over to, like, the other gambling site and then do a free bet there. We have unlimited free bets.
A lot of the
and it reinforces the ridiculousness of this, that we're talking about this as if it was a huge opportunity that I was going to Philadelphia. I have a girlfriend who lives in a state
but we were
where gambling
you,
is free.
We were talking about you actually making the bet.
We didn't want to, like, buck her five times a week to make wagers.
So now
for
Cody
us.
Has had to withdraw the money, send it to me. I put that money into an account. Now I have to withdraw that money, put it back into my bank account, send it to her. She has to then deposit it into her new gambling account, which she doesn't even know how to set up. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about who we like this weekend at the PGA.
Scottie Scheffler's the favorite, right?
Yes. No, John Rahm, excuse me, is the favorite at 11-1. Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas sitting there at 12-1.
Okay.
Those guys, a little too rich for my liking. If I had to pick somebody of just like the top dogs, I probably would lean towards Justin Thomas. But here's the way to think about golf betting. If you're going to bet on Justin, you can bet on Justin Thomas, or at 12-1, you could bet on two guys that are sitting there at 24-1, hypothetically Victor Hovland and Cameron Smith. So would you rather diversify your betting card?
Hovland's familiar with that area, went to Oklahoma State.
That's right, Stillwater, just about 30 minutes away.
I like it.
I'm going to tell you the sweet spot here that I'm really intrigued by is around the 28-45-1 range. I think that's where you constantly find value. A name that really is piquing my interest, Hideki Matsuyama, currently at 30-1. That's one guy, if you guys are okay with, I'd like to go ahead and lock in for our bets this week.
For an outright win or a top five finish?
Both. We'll do an each way. Okay. So we'll do half the bet on him to win, half the bet on him to finish top five.
Okay. I give you 100% full confidence to bet however you want for the golf thing.
Okay, well, I'm telling you this
What's Patrick Cantlay's odds?
Patrick Cantlay's up there. He is at 16-1. Okay. Again, anything under 20-1, you need to have a case to me for why there is value for that player at that number.
I mean, I get it from a value perspective, but you're also banking on none of the top seven favorites winning the tournament, which is a little scary.
Well, that's happens
I understand
pretty often.
We're not gonna put any bets on any of the top seven guys.
Of the guys who are under 20-1, I'll list all of them for you: John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth.
Okay, Spieth's playing really well.
The only one of those guys I really have much interest in would be Justin Thomas. He fits the course profile. This is a long course, tiny green, so you want guys who hit their long irons well, and if they don't, if they miss the greens, I want short game.
When are you
locking
the bets
in? I want guys
who
can get up and down.
The odds are going to change.
Probably Tuesday.
Okay.
Usually I put my betting card in Tuesday. Maybe a few stragglers if I'm waiting for a number to jump on Wednesday. But also, Brooks Koepka withdrew from the Byron Nelson last weekend. He's 45-1. These books will never learn. He had two straight missed cuts going into last year's PGA Championship, tied for second behind Phil Mickelson. 45-1, Brooks Koepka is going to be on this card. That is a ridiculous number for a four-time major winner.
Make the bets on Tuesday, and then give us a screenshot of the betting slip, please.
I don't know if my girlfriend's phone has screenshot technology.
What's our free bet possibility? Are we going to try to bet some of it on a baseball game tonight or something?
Yeah, so we're going to have to do a free bet, too, if we want to capitalize on that.
So help her get the account set up tonight. And
let's make a Major League Baseball game bet.
And then let's screenshot the bet slip for
us on
Tuesday.
I'm not worried about like us being on bad terms. I'm worried about her all of a sudden becoming addicted to gambling and deciding that she's just going to keep that money for herself.
She has a nice career. It's fine.
She has a nice career.
She can afford to gamble some of her earnings.
I'm just saying, you know, you see that number jump from zero because we're going to bet the whole payroll.
The whole payroll.
You're going to see that number go from zero to hopefully, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Maybe all of a sudden, you know, she sees dollar signs in her eyes.
She says, what if I take off some of this?
Look, usually it's you flying out to Denver. We're all three hopping on the next flight. We're knocking on doors. We're all three heading out to Denver, if that's the case.
Between the three of us, a very intimidating trio.
Very much so. All right, coming up next, we, of course, will have another edition of Dime Time and how we see this Chiefs offense stacking up with defenses across the NFL.
You're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2.
How hairy is your back? You got hair on your back. I got zero hair. I've got like two chest hairs. How much chest hair do you have?
As I'm taking my shirt off. Let's do this another time.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.